thank you for coming on this windy, awesome day, huh? And this weather just gets better and better and better. Just nonstop. Hey, as you all know, I mentioned that I had my reserve duty this past week, and I up at Rock Island, Illinois, about 3-hour drive up Highway 74. And I drove up there Monday afternoon, left about 3:34, and got there about 7:15, 7:30. And I always try to get the hotel, the Holiday Inn Express in Rock Island. I like to stay at that hotel because it's right off the Rock Island Arsenal base, and they take care of me, and they know me, and I know them, and it's just so convenient, the weather. And so I pulled in there to check in on Monday night, and I came to the check-in desk, and there's my buddy Ian and Brandon hanging out. I say, what's up, man? And talked with them. And I said, how's it been around here? And they said, well, Scott, it's been really slow. I said, yeah? I said, it must be the weather, huh? And not many people come up to Rock Island and hang out in the middle of the winter. Just not a fun. There was snow on the ground when I went up there, and there was snow when I left to come back on Friday. But I got up there to check in. I said, well, how slow is it? They said, well, we have 140 rooms, and only 32 rooms of the 140 are filled. I said, wow, that is slow, isn't it? I said, yeah, but it should be quiet for you. I said, great, thanks. And so he gave me my room key, and I put it in my pocket, and was on the fifth floor, and jumped on the elevator, and went up to the fifth floor to check in. And I got there and got off the elevator with my luggage cart and my bags, my uniforms, and went to find my room, and there it was, room 501. 501 was very close to the noisy, clanking elevator. I mean, you couldn't have got closer to the elevator than room 501. And a few times I stayed there before, if I had a room that was anywhere close to the elevator, I could not sleep all night long because all you hear is ding, up and down all night long. And I'm coming off the elevator. I'm tired. I've got a long week. I get up at 5 a.m. for physical training the next day. I'm standing there with my luggage rack looking at room 501 thinking, man, Ian, you couldn't have taken care of me better than this. What's up with that? Then I got a brilliant idea. I said, whoa, wait a minute. He's only got 32 of his 140 rooms filled. Well, maybe if I go back down and ask, put a big smile on my face and say, pretty please, maybe Ian will give me a room that's further away from the elevator. So I turn around, get my luggage rack, get on the elevator, go down 5 floors, come off the elevator, put on a big smile. Go up to Ian, said, Ian, you're so awesome. I said, I don't know a more awesome young man than you. I've never met anyone just like you, Ian. I said, and since you're so awesome, and since you have so few rooms here, could you give me another room further away from the elevator so I can get some sleep tonight, please? Oh, he said, let me check. And he went to his computer and said, well, Mr. Boyd, what room do you think I gave you? I said, well, you gave me 501. He said, no, Mr. Boyd, I didn't give you 501. I gave you 506, which is as far as the way from the elevator as I could get you situated. I said, I knew that. I was just checking to see if you knew that. And so I went back up to the fifth floor, got off the elevator, went all the way down to the end of the hallway, all the way away from the elevator, opened the door, and I slept like a baby. You see, Ian had already picked out this wonderful room for me. He knew me and I knew him, and he wanted to take care of Mr. Boyd. And so he had this gift of a room that he had already set aside just for me. And because I didn't know that Ian was trying to take care of me and trying to help me, I almost missed the gift that he wanted to give me. And in our story this morning, we pick up from where we started last week. Jesus is out in the middle of the Israeli countryside in the desert. He stops by a well outside of this small village called Zichar. It's noon. The sun is beating down. His disciples go in to get some food to eat. He's hanging out there. Then a woman from the village comes out in the middle of the day to draw some water. And Jesus talks to her and asks her for a drink. And because the Jewish people never talked to a Samaritan, she was a Samaritan, Jesus was a Jew, she was a woman, she was a man, he was a rabbi, she was an ordinary, everyday person. She couldn't believe that he would talk to her. And then we pick up with her response today as we continue through this incredible, moving story. In John chapter 4, verse 9. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." If you knew the gift of God. You know, she did not know the gift of God. She may have known something about God. She may have heard stories about this God of the Israel people. She may have heard stories about the miracles that God had done throughout history and things. She may have known these things about God, but she did not know about the relationship that God wanted to have with her. She had never sensed about how God had in store for her a life that he just wants to give her. She never imagined of a God who wanted to bring about a change in her. And not only did she not know the gift of God, she did not know that the man that she was talking to was the one that God had sent to actually bring her this gift. If she had known the gift of God and what God had in store for her and God's best that he wanted for her and the future that God had laid out for her, if she had known the gift and if she had known the man who had brought that gift, that Jesus, then she may have asked him for living water instead of the well water she was drinking. You know, and isn't it amazing that Jesus, the Son of God, would come down to earth and be willing to drink our water just so that he could offer us a taste of his water. And she says, Sir, the woman said, "You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." Well, man, this woman's got at least two things going for her. She's got good eyesight. You know, she can tell, hey, Jesus, sit in there. You've got nothing. You got absolutely nothing you can reach in this well to draw water with. But beyond that, she knows the well is deep, because this is the well that she has always come to drink water from. Every day she would come out from the village to this well to draw water, to drop down her bucket, and to draw the water up and over again. So she knew about the well. She knew about the water. She knew how it tasted. She knew how deep the well water was, because she would probably just drop it all the way down the bottom. She knew everything about the well. And she knew it was deep. But this is the only water that she had ever known. And for her, it satisfied her because she knew nothing else. Man, who here loves McDonald's? Who here? Come on now. Be on us. Being transparent. We're about transparency, aren't we, Caleb? Who loves McDonald's? Okay. All right, who loves McDonald's? All right, Big Macs are awesome. All right, Big Macs are just out of here. But, you know, hamburgers, I like hamburgers. McDonald's hamburgers are always the same. I love McDonald's hamburgers. All right, you know, and McDonald's, they're all about healthy American food. That's all they provide is healthy American food. In fact, McDonald's is our gift to the entire world. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, Americans love McDonald's. I know Chinese, you'll have McDonald's in China, right? All over the place. Yeah, it rocks over there in China. Americans, Chinese, Russians love McDonald's. Everybody loves McDonald's. Yeah, Tiffany loves McDonald's, I can tell. Yeah, Tiffany. But if a child grew up and all they ever ate was McDonald's hamburgers, you know, they would survive and they would make it and it would be okay for them. And McDonald's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all they would ever have is McDonald's hamburgers. And they would think McDonald's hamburgers was the best thing in the entire world. Until the day they ate a piece of steak. And once they ate a piece of steak, McDonald's hamburgers never tasted the same again. You know, and there's people all around us that are like this woman. They have their wells they go to drink from. They go to the well and they drink from it, and it provides them life. It gives them a life. And they go to the same well over and over and over again. But that's all they've ever known. It's been satisfying, because they've never tasted something else. They've always eaten hamburgers. But Jesus comes to bring steak. He comes to bring living water. And that's this woman. She had ever just had water from a well, but now Jesus was bringing water from God. And so she asked Jesus, well, where can you get this living water? You know, here's this woman asking Jesus, where can you get this living water? But she's really asking, well, where can I get this living water? See, not only does she not know the gift of God, she does not know the Jesus who came to bring her God's gift, neither does she know where this living water is or how to get it. So she's stuck. Living water. Whoa, my interest is piqued. What do I do? So she asks a very interesting question and says, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? Here is Jesus. Now we got to wrap our minds around this. Here is Jesus, the Son of God. And she asked Jesus, are you greater than Jacob, our father who dug this well and gave this water? Now, Jacob was a trickster. Jesus came to bring truth. Jesus was a man. No, Jacob was a man. Jesus was a God-man. Jacob lived and died. Jesus is eternal. Jesus, are you greater than Jacob? It's like someone, you know, I play basketball, okay. Caleb would say, okay, Scott, you try to play basketball. Okay, but I play basketball in the day. All right, and LeBron James plays basketball, okay. All right, Scott Boyd plays basketball, LeBron James plays basketball. And it's like someone coming to LeBron James and say, "Hey, LeBron, I hear you play basketball. Yet I hear Scott Boyd plays basketball. LeBron, are you greater? Are you greater than Scott Boyd?" And you all know the answer. The answer is no. Okay, the answer is absolutely no, no. How silly is that question? LeBron, are you greater than Scott Boyd? Well, yeah. I'm greater than anyone on the face of the planet. I'm the best basketball player in the history of the universe. And she's asking Jesus, the Son of God, are you greater than Jacob? But what she's really asking is not about greater. It's about better. Jesus, I've drank this water for so long. It's all the water I've ever known. It's brought me this far. And what she wants to know from Jesus, is your water really, is it really better than Jacob's water? Is the life that you want to give me really, truly better than the life I've known? All I've ever eaten is McDonald's hamburgers. All I've ever drank is well water. All I've ever lived is my life to date. Is it possible, Jesus, that the life you're talking about that you want to give me really, really better than the life I already have? In verse 13, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." You know, Jesus shares with this woman a truth that is always true, always has been true, always will be true. That the physical things of this world will never satisfy the deepest spiritual longings of our souls. But we still try. And we try to force the physical things of this world to do what they were never really created to do. You know, the physical things of this world were given to us by God to address the physical needs that we have. We get hungry, so God gives us food. We get thirsty, so God gives us water. We need protection from the harsh environment, weather outside. So God gives us minds and creativity and engineering and science and chemistry and physics and all these things to create places to protect us and to guard, watch over us. And we have a need for relationships as human beings. So God gives us friends and families and community and nations and social and societies, all these things that we need physically, that the physical world provides us, but the physical things of this world were never meant to and cannot address the deepest spiritual longings of our souls. Our need for purpose and meaning. Why are you here? Why are you alive at this stage of your life, at this point in time of history? What is your purpose? What is it that you've been created to do? The spiritual question of is there life beyond this life? The spiritual question of needing to know the God creator who created us. And over and over again, people go to their wells, their physical wells, and their wells are necessary for the physical things of life. They drop their buckets in, they draw the water out, and they drink it, and they come back again and drop the water in and drink it, and they get thirsty, and they come back again, put it in, pull it out, and yet they're still thirsty because they're trying to satisfy the spiritual with the physical, and you just cannot satisfy the spiritual with the physical because the physical was never created or made to satisfy the spiritual. Never. And their spiritual thirst is never quenched because they are drinking well water. But then Jesus says, verse 14, "But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus says, all right, Whoever, you know, you can choose to live your life in trying to satisfy the spiritual with the physical. People do that all the time. But Jesus said, but whoever makes that decision, makes that choice to look to the spiritual, to address the needs of the spiritual, who look to me for living water, to give water that will meet their deepest needs and longings and answer the hardest questions of their lives, whoever will drink my living water, they will never thirst again, because that water, once they drink it, it will well up in them and overflow everywhere in their lives. Man, we grew up, the Boyd kids grew up in Zephyr Hills, Florida. I know Kirby and Maria knows where Zephyr Hills, Florida is at, because they drive by it every time they head down to their place in southern Florida. Zephyr Hills, Florida is really tiny little town. But outside of Zephyr Hills, Florida is this awesome place called Crystal Springs, Florida. All right, Crystal Springs. And it is a huge, pure, freshwater springs that the water literally gushes up from the subterranean depths and the sand, and is purified by the sand, and it filled this area that was not concrete. It was just a big old open area of sand and plants, and it was huge. And my fondest memories growing up was when Dad would load all five of us kids up in the station wagon, the cool station wagon. We had a cool station wagon. Not. But he would drive us to the Crystal Springs, and we would go swimming at Crystal Springs. And we were so excited because we knew at Crystal Springs we would be swimming with fish and plants and all the trees, and we would get all wet having the time of our lives. And that's what living water does with inside of it. We drink it. It changes us. It doesn't sit there. It sort of expands and multiplies, and it begins to gush out of us so that it gushes out of us. We get all wet. But then as we are getting all wet with all this living water, those people around us get wet too. And as they get wet, but they also get their thirst quenched. And the living water within us becomes the living water within them. And they are changed, and we all stand around soaked to the bone, and it's awesome. You know, we're having the time of our life doing it. And Jesus says this water, because wells, that when wind wells up within us, it can't help but come out and get all over us. And so Jesus is placed before this woman, this incredible gift, this new way of looking at life. And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus caused this woman to thirst for living water. And that's what real Christians do. We create a thirst in others for living water. As we sacrifice our lives, we create a thirst for Jesus. As we spend our time and love them, show them love, we create in them a thirst for Jesus. As we live our lives like Jesus would live, we create in them a thirst for Jesus so that, hey, I've been drinking this water, but there's some new water, there's some living water, and man, I'm starting to get thirsty. You know, at Temple Baptist Church, you know, we're bringing people closer to God through Jesus Christ. And we're trying to create in them such a thirst. That like the woman at the well, they say, "Sir, give me this water. Jesus, give me your living water because I want to live. I want to live. I want to live." And so many people, they're standing and looking at room number 501. When Jesus has prepared room 506, they're eating hamburger. Jesus says, "I've got steak." They're drinking well water that will never satisfy their souls. And Jesus says, "I bring you water that you've never had before, that will bring you a life you've never known before, to give you a future that you've never imagined before." And he says, "I want to give you that water.